Blog Talk Radio.
To the show tonight. I'm truly blessed to be back before you again to talk about dealing with the loss of a loved one. I am your hostess, Evangelist Yolanda Henderson, and I am ready to talk to you all tonight concerning what thus says the Lord and what you can do to deal with the loss of a loved one or someone who is dealing with the loss of a loved one. I'd like for you to call in and join us in conversation, and we all interact together and speak about what we can do to help someone who's grieving or how to deal with the grieving process. Okay, so I'd like to start out in prayer, and I ask everyone to please join me. Like I always say, I love to join in with the prayer and just get everything started the right way and in God's eyes and his favor and doing everything decent and in order. All right. So if everyone could bow their heads and humble their hearts tonight. I'd like to go before the throne thanking God for another day that was not promised to us. God, thank you for just the life, the health, and the strength, God. We know that someone is not with us in the land of the living, God, but you give us strength to deal with that, God. We thank you for the powerful words and the anointing, awesome things that you have in store for us tonight, God. On this air right now, God, I ask that you bless each and every one of the listeners and bless my mouth, God. Bless me as I come before whoever's listening, and hopefully that I may be a vessel and that whatever that I say, may it be pleasing to your sight, God, and in your will. I thank you for just another day. I thank you for blessing me and giving me the right mind to have stay focused on your word. We thank you for just healing our bodies once again and giving us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need, God, in life. We pray for continuous knowledge, and we pray for love, God. We ask that you continue to spread love throughout your kingdom, God, and throughout this world as we pray for peace and power and faith, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray and I thank you, praying for everyone who has lost someone, everyone who is grieving right now, everyone who needs healing in their bodies, God, and everyone in general, God. We ask and we thank you in your son Jesus' name. We pray, amen. All right, so we'll go ahead and talk about what we're talking about tonight and get into tune with what it is that God wants us to hear. Now, you may have lost a loved one. You may be grieving at this moment. You may have experienced a loss in the past. It don't have to be a loved one. And I talked about this last week. It could be loss of a relationship. It could be a divorce, for instance. And we still need to know how to deal with those losses or we will suffer greatly. And those around us can also suffer. We don't want to allow anyone to suffer beyond what God allows. So, therefore, we're getting that information and we're sharing with everyone how to cope and deal with grief and the grieving process. Okay, so we'd like to talk about in this episode how to help someone who is dealing with the loss of a loved one and how to recognize triggers, okay, and what the Bible says about grieving and how scary the grieving process is. Now, the Bible says a lot about grieving, okay? And so we know that when you're grieving the loss of a loved one, that what we know about life after death is that the dust returns to the earth, and it was, and the spirit returns unto God who gave it. That's found in your Bible. So if you have your Bible with you and you want to open up and follow some of the scriptures, or just write the scriptures down, by all means, write the scriptures down. We will also, before I start again, I'm sorry, we're going to be giving away some tickets to our Natural for Life event. That event is going to take place July the 11th, and this is a natural hairstyle event. The morning time episodes will be the hair and the fashion show, and then the nighttime will be the Apollo Style Theater. So I'll get more into details later, but we will give out tickets to our callers for those who want to participate tonight. Okay, so where I stopped at was Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, about the dust returning back into the earth, okay, and then the spirit returning back to God. And that's where our spirits will go to, okay, once we die and life after death. And it says that a new spiritual body shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's in Philippians 3 and 21, the resurrection body of Jesus. This new body will be our means of self-manifestation and inner communion. So over again, the long unconscious sleep, we are assured that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that's found in Luke 23 and 43, okay? And in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, as well as in the transfiguration scene, Old and the New Testament persons recognize each other, okay? So many of us, when we die, there will probably be a place where we'll go and we'll probably recognize and know Isaac and Jacob and Abraham and all of those other people that died before us, our grandparents, our mothers and fathers. So it's not so bad to die, and it's not a bad thing to know that your loved one has gone on to be with someone in heaven who has already died. So we'll go ahead and that's from a book that I have called When Loved Ones Are Called Home. Okay, so that's what the scripture says. And we want to ask another question, and that question was last week we were talking about dealing with the loss of a loved one. And if anybody have ever dealt with the loss of a loved one or a loss of anything, how did they cope? And what are some ways and forms of ways that you can use dealing with the loss of a loved one? So if we can have a caller to call in and give us some information on how they particularly deal with the loss of a loved one, we will go ahead and give you some tickets. So the number to call in tonight is 516-531-9837. Again, the number is 516-531-9837. Caller number 3. I'm listening and I'm waiting. Give you a short intermission to go ahead and get together and call, and be right back with you.
All right. Well, since we don't have any callers right now, we'll just go ahead and jump back into what we were talking about, and we will talk about it again a little later and get some more callers a little later. So let's ask some more questions. If anybody else have lost a loved one or friend of someone who's lost a loved one, I'd like to hear from you as well. So if you want to call in and tell your testimony of how you are dealing and coping with the loss of a loved one, I'd love to hear that information as well. So I have some more research that I've done on living with the loss of a loved one and how scary and frightening it could be when you lose a loved one. Okay. Some ways that I found that can help you get through the stages of what we talked about. We talked about the numbness and shock. We talked about different ways, and there's the stages of grief. There's the physical disturbances, which is the numb and the shock. Denial, when you deny that someone is actually passed on, and then there's the anger stage, and then there's the, just the searching for truth and trying to ask God, questioning God's motives, and sometimes we can get angry at God. So we have to be, know the ways to get through some of these stages without going back into remission, and how to not be triggered. And I know some of the triggers that we talked about last week were merely a certain holiday that, reminded you of this person, or a park that reminded you of a person, or a certain theater, or a certain whatever scent, or however, a picture that made you reminisce all the time. So we want to try to find out triggers that causes us to go back into sadness and try to allow our loved ones to, reestablish a plan for us on those certain days, or find a different location to go eat and vice versa. Okay, so we also know that depression has a big role in dealing with the loss of a loved one. So outcome aware of the reality of our loss, the issues of its permanence begin to filter in our conscious minds, right? So the third stage of grief, which is depression, we don't want to fall into. We want to try to get our people, our loved ones, away from falling into depression. And that's what cripples our loss. That's what cripples our stages. So here are some ways that we can get over whatever we've lost, and understand that it's never coming back, and it will never be the way that they were before, and that our loss is gone forever, okay? The way our life was is gone forever, and with the dawning of the awareness, depression embraces us. We have to make sure that we understand how not to fall into that depression by not taking up on that acceptance stage. Instead, we are in denial when someone that we love passes away. Depression is a stage where we reach down into the very depths of our being. Within these depths, we interact with and touch some of the darker parts of ourselves. We encounter our anger. We comfort our guilt. And at times, we bump up against huge brick walls that seem to block us. We also tap wells of strength and wisdom and calm that we didn't know existed there. In our depression, we are struggling, fighting, and transforming. And we're going through depression, and going through the depression is necessary, for it is here where we begin to finish and reach a resolution. It is part of the healing, and as we move in and through it, there are ways to make the journey smoother. It is vital to keep the feelings of the stage in motion. Binding them will only intensify the pain and anguish. Facilitating our anger and guilt and looking at ways of letting go will help our movement through this stage. So we have to facilitate anger. We have to, like I said, get through the depression, okay? So So the way, one way is facilitating anger. Our tendency during depression is to shut ourselves and our feelings off, to turn our backs on them. And it's very important to keep our feelings ourselves, you know, and make sure that everything is going and flowing good and alive. So in this way, giving the space to be, they will work themselves through. Anger is a major part of the storm of grief. We blow, we gust, we rage, and if we bottle it up, it will turn in on us and become destructive. So anger left alone to express itself is healthy. It is our human reaction to the loss that we protest, and we have every right to be angry and to feel it. But we have lost, and our anger is necessary. We have every right to be angry and feel it. So if you've lost someone or lost something, you have the right to be angry. It motivates us and pushes us towards the changes that we have to make to grow, and it keeps us moving. So violence comes from anger, and that has been kept in chains. So understand that and accept anger as a friend. It is anger as a friend and as an ally. Since anger is not one of the most sociably accepted emotions in our society, we may have to choose a safe place to allow our anger to express it. Or we may have to create our own secure environment. So check in your area for therapy groups that may deal with anger. If there are some, this may be a place to express the anger from your grief. Okay, so therefore, getting the help and support from others that will allow you to talk about your anger and deal with your anger and your pain is some place that we all should be able to have if necessary. So please, please, please find a group. Find an anger management class. I will be talking about anger in another series. I've learned a lot. I'm still working on it myself. I'm not perfect in any of these areas by all means, and I'm never saying that I am perfect. But in my training, I have gained a lot of knowledge in grief and in anger, and I would love to share that with you. So if you would have any questions, feel free to call us after the show or during normal business hours. That's Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So maybe if you call tonight, we won't be able to answer your call, but we will be able to come back and talk with you on tomorrow. So you can leave a message on our number, and that number is 1-888-959-2093. Again, that number is 1-888-959-2093. Okay. So let's go back and check in with our phone lines, and let's see if we have anybody that want to ask any questions or who want to merely just talk about how they've dealt with grief and the loss of a loved one. Okay, this is your weekly hostess, evangelist, and health coach, Yolanda Henderson. And I've also written a book, and I'm waiting on that book to hit shelves everywhere late July. Hopefully sooner than that, but we'll see. I also have some tickets to our Natural Life event for caller number 3 who would like to call in and give us some examples of some ways that they dealt with the loss of a loved one. The number to call in tonight is 516-531-9831-9837. All right. I'm your hostess, Evangelist Yolanda Henderson, and I'm back to talk with you. I have so much to talk about, so I want to jump right back in. We haven't had any callers yet, so if you or any of your loved ones or anybody you know wants to listen in on dealing with the loss of a loved one and grieving, please call us in or jump online, call them and tell them that we're online, and we would love to hear from them tonight. Okay. So, we were talking about anger. Now, that's one of the ways that you can deal with the loss of a loved one is through that anger phase. These are stages that's the inevitable. You're going to go through this, okay? So creating a safe environment and allowing yourself to get help is the best way to be able to manage that anger. So creating your own environment means finding a place away from others where you can yell and rant and rage to your heart's content without disturbing or frightening anyone. An apartment building is not the best place to do this, but it's possible. I managed to get away with this by warning my neighbors that I was going to be working with some anger on a particular afternoon and telling them that they heard screams coming from the place not to worry. I was okay. They looked at me, and I had a couple of hits, but that was all right. So at least the boys in the blue didn't show up at the door. The thing is, you have to make sure that you are in a place. I like to go into my closet when I pray, and that's also a place where I can go and release, and I can, you know, the pile of clothes or whatever in the closet on the floor, you know, beat those up and throw a whatever soft I have, and I have my rage and I have my fit, and then, you know, I cry it out, and that's how I have learned to deal with grief, and that's in my own way, and that may work for others. It has worked for me in the past, okay? Stating guilt. We're going to jump over to guilt. Guilt is just anger wearing a different face. So guilt seems to be our way of handling the anger that we feel toward ourselves. Dealing with anger at ourselves seems to follow a pattern. Initially, we feel angry at ourselves because we have erred in some way. And this anger, in anger at this imperfection, we disown that part of us that just can't seem to get things right. So we slap our wrists, we berate and ridicule ourselves, and we pout, and we may turn away from ourselves in disgust. Okay? So finally, we work it through. We cool down and we begin to reclaim that part of ourselves. We feel forgiveness for our imperfections and we take that part back in. Okay? So in grief, we are angry for our part in the loss. And that is a lot of what a lot of us experience. And some people you can tell when they're stuck on the guilt stage. They are not wanting to let go of their part that they could have done, what they could have, how they could have visited more, how they could have done more, you know, how they could have chosen to be a better spouse, how they could have been on time for work, how they could have stayed later and did extra work, how they could have done something extra, okay, how they could have been a better wife or a husband. And that guilt starts to turn from anger into guilt. So at first it's angry, we're angry, and then it starts turning into guilt. Okay, so we can assist in this process. Our guilt needs to be experienced and expressed. It needs to be said out loud. So we talk about the feelings of the guilt, we say them out loud, and we share them with someone who can just accept and listen. We just need someone to listen sometimes, and that's something that I love to do. I love to listen to people because I gain a better understanding of how that person deals with things because not everybody is the same. I'm not the same as someone sitting next to me, okay, because they may deal with their anger differently. They may want to deal with their anger by shouting or listening to loud music, and I may want to cry, okay? So listening, having a good listener is another way. And another way to say them out loud is to talk them into a recorder. So if you want to just record yourself talking to the person that you miss or talking to yourself about what's going on, I'm not going to think you're crazy. Of course, you're not going to think you're crazy because you're expressing something and you need a way to get this off your chest. Dealing with things that are bottled up on the inside can be very harmful for your environment, for people around you, and for yourself. Okay, so you can also write them down in a journal. And since guilt is anger turned inside, try to get the anger at yourself outside of you, okay? Have some type of dialogue or speech with yourself. Do the berating and the ridiculing on paper. and write it down. So become a part of yourself that is angry, okay? Reach yourself the riot act. Exaggerate it. Tell yourself out. Put it on paper and talk to it on the tape recorder, okay? So now become the part of yourself that made the mistake. Tell the angry part what you feel and think about what was just said. Become the angry part and answer. Let whatever comes flow out. Don't think about it. Just let it pour out of you. Continue until you come to some kind of resolution. Allow the part of you that is angry to express itself freely and openly. You can do this by asking it questions, by exploring it. Ask that anger, ask what the anger feels like, describe it, and tell it to say whatever you need it to say to you, okay? So, forgive ourselves for all the should that didn't happen. We need to treat ourselves as we would another. When others make mistakes, we are ready to forgive them, so we have to forgive themselves. One of my favorite quotes today, and I posted it on Facebook, is, start forgiving yourself. It's an amazing thing when you forgive yourself for something that you've done, okay, so that you are not living in guilt. That's why I feel like I have a clear conscience, because I have no guilt, no condemnation about nothing in my life anymore. Everything has happened for a reason. I'm where I need to be in life. I'm to experience life in abundance. I'm to enjoy my life. And it took me going through those stages and understanding that it wasn't the end of the world for me. And it's not the end of the world for you as well. So this is a start of a letter to yourself. If you want to write a letter to yourself, I've done this. I've written a letter to God, to myself, to people that have hurt me or harmed me, for things that I've lost, for people that have came in my life and are no longer with me. Dear self, I forgive you for XYZ. I forgive you because XYZ, and I love you and accept you because XYZ. You fill in the blank, okay? So guilt needs to be felt and it needs to be expressed. But the most importantly, it needs to be released. So a way of aiding that release so that we can accept ourselves again is to refocus. And then when we get to the place where all that I should have, or if I had only done spinning your wheels, that is the time to refocus instead of staying with what you should have done and start looking at what you did do. Look for all the beautiful presents you did give. Guilt is a teacher. It holds a gift for you. As you refocus, begin to look for the gift in all of this. What is the gift within your loss? What can you take away from it? Change from dumping on yourself to accepting yourself and your imperfections. Our mistakes teach us. Turn it into a learning experience. And ask yourself, what have you learned? So, I'll go ahead and ask for some callers and see if anyone have any questions or thoughts about what I said. The number to call in is 31-9837, and I'm your host, Evangelist. Your host is Evangelist Yolanda Henderson, and I'm wanting to hear from you tonight. If there's any callers, if there's someone who is on the line and want to speak out, I'm giving away some tickets to our Natural Tui Life event, okay? And this event is an all-day expo. It's a fashion, hair, and Apollo style clean competition. And we're also giving out trophies for the different categories of our fashion, which is Miss Fit Texas, Miss Over 40, Miss, believe it was Miss Naturally Fit Texas 2015, and this is going to be something that we're going to have every year, and this is our first annual event. It's going to be here in Dallas, Texas at the Naomi Boone Theater in the Black Academy of Arts and Letters Performing Arts Center in the Convention Center Complex. The event starts at 12:30 a.m. and will end at 10 p.m. promptly. the events are scheduled in order from the hair show, from the fashion show, lasting from 12:30 or 1 o'clock until about 2, 3 o'clock. 3 to 4 will be the hair show and some intermission, and then a competition for the Palo Style talent competition will be from 7 to 10. So those are the schedule of events, proposed schedule of events that's supposed to take place that day, and we're very excited because we are we have lots of speakers who's going to talk about the natural way of eating, children's way of eating, natural hairstyles, easy natural hairstyles, even protective hairstyles. If you don't wear hair weaves or braids, you still want to know how to treat your hair up underneath. Your natural hair, up underneath the false hair. We're not saying that there's anything wrong. We just want you to know from a chemical perspective what all is included in those chemically processed products that we're using. We also have some donations by Sally's that we're going to be giving out. We have a goodie bag or backpack with some sponsored bottles and nice things that we're going to be having at the show. And now this is an all-day event. I'm telling you about it early before it hits our local radio station because it will start hitting probably the end of this month or beginning next month so that you can start buying your tickets. Tickets will be on sale at Ticketmaster. It's already on sale at Ticketmaster. If you want to go to www.ticketmaster.com and type in the search bar, Natural to Life, you will be able to wear our event and how you can get your ticket. Okay, so getting a ticket now will guarantee that you get a good seat because we do have balcony seats that are a cheaper price, but they're farther away from the stage. So now is the time to get your good ticket so that you can sit closer to the stage. All right, and also we're also looking for people who want to model. And also for hair talent, if you're a braider, if you do dreadlocks or things of that nature, we'd love to have you join us. Now, this is the Holistic Braid Bar is a salon that I'm the owner of here in McKinney, Texas. We do a lot of natural holistic styles, and also the Holistic Society, which is a partner to the Gift of Life, which is sponsoring this event as well. So feel free to call us if you have any more questions or go to the website, www.thegiftoflifecommunityhome.wordpress.com. Also, Big Shot Entertainment will be another sponsor of the event. They're going to be in charge of the music, in charge of the performers, in charge of the talent for that night. So if you have further questions and you want to join into the talent competition, that competition we're taking registration for, there's a $500 cash prize for the grand prize winner, okay? So if you have more information about that, feel free to call us 1-888-959-2093, and we can give you more information on how you can get registered. Or you can email us at yonorm13@gmail.com. That's yonorm13@gmail.com. And that's a special way that you can ask questions and have your questions to be answered as soon as possible. Okay. Now, the number to call in to be a guest on tonight's show is area code 516-531-9837. We'll take a brief break. And we'll come back to the phone lines and get some callers to call in, 516-531-9837. I'm your hostess, Yolanda, Evangelist Yolanda Henderson, and I want to come back to you with more information on how to deal with the loss of a loved one or grieving in general, grieving just the stages of grief and how to overcome any type of grief that you may be dealing with, okay? So we want to learn how to start letting things go and ways to aid in letting things go of the loss and the part of us that has that was tied to it are probably one of the most painful and difficult parts of the grieving process. And why is this? The difficulty lies in the fact that we must change. The pain lies in the acknowledgement of the disruptions in our lives caused by the loss. So we need to make changes to stabilize our world once again. Change is difficult. Okay, so change is also, it's like letting go is the first step in accepting of our loss and acceptance of different styles of life. Okay, so if it is grieving up the past and it's like giving up the past and embracing the present. Okay, so we're going to take another quick break and we're waiting on you to call us so you can tell us how you have learned to let go of your past and of grief. Okay? We'll take another quick break. All right, so we didn't get any callers to tell us how they started letting go, but we'll go ahead and move forward and talk about how letting go is the first step of acceptance of our loss and the different styles of life and giving up the past. So one way is through the use of dream work. So just as we've used dreams to help us in our finding, we can apply them to letting go. As you find yourself in space of time between waking and sleeping, suggest to yourself that you will work on letting go as you dream. Ask yourself to remember your dreams. Repeat this over and over as you fall off to sleep. There are many ways to let go. We practice doing so every day, though we probably are not aware of it. Throwing out the trash is a way of dumping things we no longer need. Some people, after the breakup of a relationship, eventually go through old letters and pictures that hold memories of the other person. And you can rip them up and throw them away, in a sense, dumping the garbage that they no longer need. Others burn pieces of memorabilia in the way that they were burned. Still others flush away the crap that they no longer need. A friend of mine, once she said, decided to move out in an unhappy marriage, flushed her wedding ring down the toilet. These are all forms of letting go. Okay? So scan your life. What method is best for you? Maybe it's one we haven't mentioned. So if there's any caller that has a way that they have let go, again, I'd like to hear from you. I'm still taking callers. I was having technical difficulties a couple of times, and sorry I didn't get a chance to get any other callers in, but the way to call in is area code 516-531-9837, and I'll be looking at the studio throughout the radio, throughout the night, to find if there's anyone who wants to join in. You may have to call more than once in order to get through, but don't give up. Okay? So, imagery is another way to work on letting go. This exercise that follows uses dialogue to help you finish what you lost within the framework of a guided daydream. The easiest way to utilize this exercise is by talking it into a tape recorder or recorder and then taking yourself through it as you play it back. So let go. Assume a position of comfort. Close your eyes. Take in 3 deep breaths. In through your nose and out through your mouth. In through your nose, out through your mouth. In through your nose and out through your mouth. Feel your body relaxing more and more. As you breathe, notice the areas of tension and tightness within your body. As you breathe in, begin to breathe into a tense area, feeling the tension break up and move out as you allow the breath to flow out. Again, breathe into the tight area and release the tension as you blow the breath out of your mouth. Okay, stay with this a while, feeling your body relaxing and relaxing. Give yourself a minute there. Visualize your loss as sitting there. Time now to really see your loss sitting in front of you and notice all the details about your loss, all the things that describe it, its color, size, form, shape. And notice how you feel about your loss. Where do you feel it in your body? Is there a certain area of tension? Notice how you feel as you begin to realize and accept that it's truly gone and can never come back to you. Feel those feelings. Allow yourself to feel them deeply. Be aware of where in your body you feel the most. Let yourself experience any despair or hopelessness that comes from the realization that you can never have it back again, and that it really, really lost to you, and that you can never see it, touch it, or feel it again. Be with that for a while. Give yourself a few minutes here. Now become completely honest and open as you begin to have a dialogue with your loss. Tell your loss all the things you've held back from it, all the things you've never said before. Say those directly to the loss that is sitting in front of you. Express everything that comes to mind, resentment that you held back, anger that you were afraid to show, hurt that you never spoke, love that you never expressed, questions that you never answered. Ask. Be aware of how you feel when you do this. Notice if your body tenses it somewhere. Stay in contact with your loss as you do this. Take a while to be with this. Give yourself a few minutes here. Now, become your loss and respond to what you said. Be what you have lost. How do you reply to this person that you've left behind? Be aware of how you feel as you do this. How do you feel towards this person that you've left? Tell the person how you feel, what your thoughts are. Switch places again and become yourself. Respond to what your loss just said to you. Tell your loss how you feel toward it now. How do you experience your relationship? Now tell your loss what you need from it. Be aware of how you feel as you do this. Give yourself a moment. Come the loss again. Reply to the expression of the needs and wants of the person you've left. what do you hear the person asking for? Now tell the person what you need or want from him or her. Give yourself a minute here. Switch places again and become yourself and tell your loss how you feel about it and what you think of it now. Give yourself a minute there. Now get with what you know must come. Get with letting go of your loss. Tell your loss how you feel after having to let go. Get with letting go of the loss, okay? Say whatever is left to say, whatever else you need to say, and as you feel ready, slowly turn and walk away, releasing the loss. Knowing that you are letting it go on now, be with how that feels. Allow yourself to feel it. Take this all in. Now return to your existence in this room. Stay quietly with your experience for a while. And when you're ready, open your eyes and come back here. Record what this fantasy was like for you. How did you feel? Where are you now? Is it finished? If not, what do you need to do to finish it? These are some of the ways that can help you move through depression. The depression stage is concerned mainly with dealing with the permanence of the loss and gradually letting go. All right, so that's a wonderful exercise that I try with myself when I'm dealing with the loss of something. It may not be a loved one. It may not be, you know, something that everyone else does, but in my own way, I like to meditate, and that's a form of meditation that is great for an individual to ask questions, picture yourself in the situation, picture yourself leaving, picture that person leaving, picture them explaining why they left, picture yourself telling them all the things that you never got a chance to tell them, and understanding what and how that helps you to let go of the loss that you've lost, okay? So that helps set us free and get control over what's going on with us. All right? So I don't have any callers right now at this time. We're coming to an end, and we want to go ahead and talk about how do we grieve? How do we grieve? What are some ways that you grieve? Okay? I have an excerpt that I like to read. It says, riding through a storm that seems to force us through the doors of numbness and shock, a couple hallways of searching and finding through the cellars of depression and up onto the porch of restoration is how we grieve. Padded within numbness, we huddle, cushioned from our loss. As it intrudes, we wrestle with this reality while we searching and eventually finding to relieve the severity of our pain, unwillingly let it all go. Picking up the fragments, we slowly rebuild the ruins and move on with our lives. This is how we grieve. Okay? So one person in what I was writing, is Louise experienced shock or numbness in a form of hyperactivity. She couldn't slow down. She had a feeling of being on the outside looking in. Her search for Jenny was expressed in trying to maintain normal routines, such as fixing her lunch or going to get her up in the morning. When she couldn't find Jenny, she went to the cemetery, sitting there day after day, talking to her daughter. Louise gradually found Jenny within the house by sensing her presence there. As the shock, the memory of Jenny faded, Louise sank into depression and defeat. Knowing that she'd never see her child again, anger showed the poor God and the doctors. She was in despair for a time, but slowly, gradually, she was able to let go and sense a release of feelings of deep loss and regret. Her world began to come back together as she got out of the house and reached out in a new direction. So, when we start trying to get over our grief and accept the grief stage and let go, we are releasing those feelings of that loss, okay? Grief heals our wounds. and through it we repair the disruption of loss and rebuild our lives. So why are we so afraid of our grief? How did it become so frightening? Okay, so thinking about the cultural attitudes in our society and the messages that thread throughout our society can point us toward an answer. Our society has developed an attitude of avoiding and denying death, but it wasn't always this way. Years ago, people usually died at home surrounded by loving family and friends. Preparation of the body for the burial was taken care of by family members. They bathed the body, chose the burial clothes, and dressed the loved ones. This gave the family the opportunity to be with the loved one and take care of him or her one last time. It gave them time to finish, to say goodbye. And caring for the body in this way, the family could not deny the death of their loved one. So, we don't do that now. Today we have a mortuary, and we have a cemetery. We have people who embalm the bodies. And we don't get to have that one-on-one time with our loved ones after their passing. A lot of us don't. Some of us do. Some of us can accept that and take that and want to be a part of that. You do have a right to do that as well. So within these rituals, a natural means for the flow of tears and pain of grief was given, and death was accepted as a natural part of the life cycle. So along with the acceleration of technology and progress in our Western culture, the attitude toward death has changed. Death has come to be unnatural and unreal. The unspoken attitude is that death does not happen, or at least not to each of us personally. It does not touch us. It only touches others. Death has been put away into a compartment. It doesn't exist. It's not real. This is the way we avoid death. We live in a society that is bent on denying and avoiding the reality of death. Until very recently, death has been considered a taboo subject, one that should not be talked about. In many quarters, this is still the case. Avoidance of death can be seen in a number of common practices. 75% of us die in cold, sterile hospital rooms. Our family comes to the hospital to visit us, not to care for us. They are in no way involved in our care. Much of the time, they are given the message that they are in the way. We are separated from them by rules. They can only see us during visitation hours. Small children are barred. Much of our treatment is a mystery to our loved ones. With this wall of separation, serious illness takes on a sense of not being real. When the loved person dies, the body is whisked away at the first opportunity. It is as though the body of one who has died is somehow disgusted or dirty. It has to be swept away and hidden from view. There is little time allowed for the family to just be with their loved one, to touch and to talk with him or her, to finish, to say goodbye. The body is moved to a funeral home. It does not go home. It goes to a foreign place, a place that is artificially set up to look like someone's parlor. In addition, element in a sense of unreality, disposal of the body, preparation for the burial, and the ceremony are regulated to train professional business people. God bless them. The necessity of tending to the needs of our lost family members one last time is taken out of our hands. If there is to be a viewing, the body is painted to look as though the person was still alive, with natural flesh tones and painted red lips. The body looks unnatural and in an eerie state. That's because it is. We try to make the person appear to be sleeping, not dead. No wonder we feel uncomfortable as we look upon it. This is our denial of death. Children are shielded and protected from witnessing death as if it was something bad rather than a natural event in the cycle of life. Death in our antiseptic rational world has become unnatural and unreal. Euphemisms are used to deny its existence. The denial and avoidance of death carries over to attitudes and values toward grieving. A culture that denies death also denies grief. Become remote, foreboding, frightening, repugnant, and mysterious. These attitudes toward death are reflected in the way we mourn. We no longer know how to grieve. And according to Edgar Jackson, we have no meaningful social patterns for dealing with the feelings of loss. So, we as people need to know how to grieve. So, the culture that we live in does not allow grieving. It doesn't allow us to understand death in the process. Okay, it doesn't allow us time to say goodbye. It doesn't allow us time to just be with the person that we have lost. So according, grief is time limited, okay? So according to this law, we're given a brief period to mourn. It is the death of a loss. The grieving period extends to 3 to 4 days or until after the funeral, okay? And then the message is that if we fall apart during the time period, our behavior is still within appropriate range. Outside that period, any outburst of emotions bordered by the border on the inappropriate. Once the prescribed mourning period is up, we are expected to be back on the job, behaving normally while playing the charades that nothing has changed in our lives. Grief is limited to loss by death. According to this notion, outward expression of grief is inappropriate for the loss and that are not the result of death. This message is that the only time that grief is okay is when somebody has died, okay? Not afterwards. And next week we're going to pick up from there and talk about more dealing with the loss of a loved one. That will be episode 4, our last episode of the series. And we want to thank you again for joining us tonight. And we would love to hear from you next week. I didn't get any callers this week, but I would love to hear from you next week if you call up a friend or a loved one that has lost someone. We would love to hear from them as well. Again, the number that you can reach us after the call would be 1-888-959-2093. I have been your hostess, evangelist, and health coach, Yolanda Henderson, and I would love to have you with us next week. And I thank you with all my heart for joining us tonight. And you can also listen to the playback series by clicking the button below. Thank you. Have a good night.